I will begin today's sermon by asking a question to all of us. How much time do we spend in meditation and thankfulness to the great God that we serve? Do we daily give thanks to God and Jesus Christ for the greatness of power, love, and forgiveness? Do we really and truly appreciate our calling at this time in this age to be a part of His magnificent plan for all mankind? In His teachings, Jesus made a profound statement that could be considered as the fundamental overview of Christianity and how we should live and conduct ourselves. So please turn to Matthew chapter 7. We will read verses 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So reading these verses, brethren, there are always certain dramatic qualities about life that tells us that God should always be our consultant in everything we do and set out to accomplish in life. It has been said that all life is focused on our positions at the crossroads. Now, I have been at crossroads, you have been at crossroads, and we will go at crossroads again before we die. Because there's always decisions in life that we must face. We face many crossroads as we go through life. And all these crossroads, a decision must be made. And when we make these decisions, they bring with them choices. Moses, at the end of his lifespan, knowing that life was coming to an end for him, he stood before the nation of Israel and gave them this command and warning. So please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We begin reading in verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in all the land which you go to possess." Verse 17, "But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them," there is a choice coming up. Now, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live." And I know you have seen, I have myself, and you will continue to see people in life that makes bad decisions. And you wonder, did they ever give any thought about it at all? You know, many, many years ago when we were growing up in our younger days, and I try to go back to this television program, the Waltons. You know, they had a large family, but they had qualities. because they always at the lunch at dinner time, you know, they would sit around and talk about issues and make plans and discuss, you know, what they should do. They were together. But, you know, this society doesn't have time for that anymore. You know, the husband comes in, the family's already ate, the kids are, you know, in the front of the television. We don't have time to talk. And, you know, bad decisions are made. And we see so many dysfunctional marriage families in our society today. And it's all because, brethren, we don't sit down and consult the right people to make the right decision. So the sermon title today, Keys to Making the Right Decisions. Everyone wants to make the right decisions. I do, and you do. As Christians, we have a greater responsibility in making the right decision in life that pleases God. Now, the reason for that is because we shouldn't be dysfunctional. We have God's truth. Our decisions should be firm. Decisions should be with understanding. And therefore, where have we went wrong? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We want to read this from the NIV, these two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9 and 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 from the NIV. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So there is a penalty that we can see from reading this for making bad choices. And you've seen it, maybe, hopefully not, but in your neighborhood you see, you know, as I said, dysfunctional families. And it's because somebody somewhere has made some wrong decisions. Now, are we going to make every decision correct? No, we will not. We will still make mistakes, but our goal should be to seek after making the right decision. So making decisions in life that will be pleasing to God has already been set forth as Apostle Paul described in Colossians. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we will read verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1. As the Apostle Paul describes, Colossians 1, verse 9, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the principal task in decision making for a Christian is to learn what God wants us to do. And after we learn that, then do it. If God says do it, then we ought to do it. The obvious question is, how is the Christian to learn what God wants him to do as he is confronted with making decisions? So throughout history, the ways that God has communicated with His people has varied. Before there was any scripture God revealed His will through direct revelations. God usually revealed them as a message received by a single individual who would pass along to others whatever God had intended for them to do. This means of revelation included visions and messages from angels, manifestations of God in human form, or simply hearing the audible voice of God. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Begin reading in verse 12 of Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God. I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 15. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now let's turn over to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met with him. When Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's camp. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim, as God's special revelation was committed to paper. His people had two sources to know His will. God revealed this. And one of those were His laws. They had the book. And brethren, we have the book as well. Ours is more complete. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this is one of our failures in life, that mankind has faced in making decisions because he didn't consult God. Over a period of some 1,500 years, God's will for his people were written down. In 2 Peter chapter 1, just please turn there for a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. Verse 19, 2 Peter chapter 1. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Finally, after God had revealed Himself fully in the human person of His Son, Jesus Christ, we find in John chapter 1, verse 14, the book was called the Bible was complete. Let's turn to briefly to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We will read verse 18 and 19 of Revelation chapter 22. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these words, to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The Bible is a book is serious. It's serious instruction that God has left here for us to live by the words that are recorded in the Scriptures. So we see, brethren, God has provided us all that we need in order to make decisions that are pleasing to Him. Let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who calls us by glory and virtue. So my purpose today, today's sermon, is to summarize the teachings of the Bible on how we can make decisions according to God's will. I want to cover three principles that will guide us in making the right decisions in life that will please God. The first principle is the principle of obedience. The principle of obedience. So when the Bible speaks of God's will, it does so in one of two senses. The first of these we will call moral will of God. And we can define this as the commands and principles which God has revealed in the Bible to teach us how we ought to live and how we ought to believe. In Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, and begin reading in verse 7. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So I can come, brethren, and sit in all different audiences throughout the United States. And I can listen to God's word being expounded. And I go away from that with an understanding of what the minister have said. And if I don't do it, it doesn't process me anything. That's just what this verse said. The hearers of the law are justified in the sight of God. It is the doers of the law. So for us to grow spiritually, brethren, it is very necessary that we listen and heed to, as we read in Peter there a few minutes ago, to do those things that the Scriptures tell us to do. That is one of the things that pleases God. That's one of the things that we go through life doing, that we don't make bad mistakes. And I said before, we're going to make some, but we don't have to do that. We don't have to do it at all. So what Paul is saying, that since they studied the Scriptures, they understood God's moral will, therefore they know right from wrong, truth from error. Their fault is not ignorance, but disobedience. So the principle of obedience may be summed up in this way. Where God commands, we must obey. The moral will of God is fully revealed in the Bible. So brethren, 100% of what God wants us to do and believe in pleasing Him is recorded in the Scriptures. The Bible is our final and complete authority for practice. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. All Scripture, didn't say part of it, but he said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So there it is. That's what God has given us. Now notice Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. The moral will of God is the expressions of God's character. Let's notice Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 12. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. So this is because God's will reflects His character. It helps to produce that same character in the life of the one that, who obeys it, and leads to fullness of life. You see, God doesn't want us to have problems. He allows problems to come up on us sometimes in a way that He has to teach us a lesson, but God doesn't want us to have problems. And that's why it's so clearly laid out in the Scriptures the things that we need to do in making the decisions. Now, if we come to a crossroad and you still can't make a decision, it may become necessary, brethren, for you to not only pray about it, but it also may become necessary for you to fast about it. It depends on how serious your decision is that you need to make. But we must keep in contact. We must consult God in our decisions in life. Psalm 19. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clear, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So here's just a plain statement that the things that will happen to us when we follow God's way. As Christians, our decision to seek gold in life should reflect the purpose for which we were called. 1 Corinthians chapter 10.1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So the depth of and the meaning of this verse and what it is saying to us is this. As God's called out people, we should never, never in any way do anything that will discredit or dishonor God. This should be our desire. And 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. I want to read this verse from the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. It says, "Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given glory in everything through Jesus Christ. All glory and power belong to Him forever and ever." And then we have another scripture here that I guess we'll certainly back this up. In Colossians chapter 3, if you will turn there. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So under the principle of obedience brings responsibility as a Christian to bear fruit as the will of God requires. Let's turn to Titus. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And verse 8. Titus 3 verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, I can only say, you know, shortly, the depth of this verse is showing that we should at all times be examples. This should be a verse that we remember, that we are out there, and God has called us, and we should be examples of God's way. Let's go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Here, Apostle Paul prayed for the Colossian brethren that they would grow in knowledge and understanding, and they would be strengthened and have insight according to God's glorious power to do His will. So in Colossians chapter 1, begin reading in verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge and the will, wisdom and understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, that all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of God, Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. So in these verses, Paul begins his prayer and asking that the brethren there be filled with knowledge and understanding. And our prayer to God should not so much try to make God listen to us, but to make ourselves listen to Him. We should not try to persuade God to do what we want to do, but find out what the will of God is for us. Paul is praying that they may understand the great truth of Christianity, to know knowledge of God and His will, and to make sound decisions. So therefore, Paul prays that the brethren will be strengthened in power and understanding. James chapter 4. Please turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So it's dangerous, brethren, to sit under the teachings of God's instructions, have knowledge of those instructions, understanding of those instructions, and then fail not to do them. Now, God is not going to dictate to us every choice we must make as a Christian. We are not only free to choose, but we are required to choose. And this raises a critical question. On what basis do we make the right decisions when it comes to making those choices in life? Wisdom is accurately defined. This is the second principle that we want to look at, the principle of wisdom. Wisdom is accurately defined as the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of obtaining it. Wisdom is the ability to recognize what is spiritually profitable and the ability to recognize what the spiritually profitable situation is given. But in all things, brethren, we must have a humble and teachable heart when we are understanding wisdom. Wisdom comes through not only by discernment, but you must have a teachable heart. The standard of wisdom is proven by four lines of support. First, the Old Testament teaches wise decisions making by its wisdom. The books, an example of wise men that God dealt with. And these men were given advantage of good success. Now let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And just a little example here. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. If the axe is dull, and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. Now what that is saying is, if I'm out here with a log, a huge log, and you have an axe, and I have an axe, but one side of my axe is dull. This log is the same in diameter, by the way. I can explain myself. Your axe is sharpened, and mine is dull. So we start cutting on this log. Who's going to finish first? Absolutely. But if I stop and go sharpen my axe and come back, I'm not going to use all of the pounding and you know aggravations that I will have trying to cut this log in two. It's just a simple phrase of understanding. What God is saying, brethren, when we take this back to the Scriptures in making decisions, make the right decisions, and you won't have to go through all of these other things that's going to cause you so many problems. It's just a simple phrase there. But what God is showing that the sharp edge of the axe and the dull edge of the axe, use that dull axe, it's going to take you long to do to accomplish what you want it to do. Sharpen the axe. Go back and sharpen the axe. Prayer, Bible study, fasting, brethren. Sharpen the axe. Now, we remember Moses, and I said earlier that we must be humble and teachable when it comes to making decisions and wisdom. Moses was humble and thus teachable. This was important because he had a blind spot. And Jethro, as we remember, was Moses' brother-in-law. God had Jethro to approach Moses. Jethro watched Moses judge the people all day and concluded that what Moses was doing was not good. He would wear himself out and all the people around him. It was too much for Moses. Along, Jethro gave wisdom and teaching to Moses. Now, Moses could have been arrogant and said, you don't tell me what to do. I'm leading all these people. Why are you telling me these things? But we'll see. Let's notice Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. There were millions of people there in the Israel's nation, and all those people standing before Moses from day until night. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13, "And it was so on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw that all he did for the people, he said, 'What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit at all the people stand before you from morning until evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God.'" Let's drop down to verse 17. "So Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people you are with, you will surely wear yourself out. For this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you good counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for all the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God.'" Now again, I say, Moses could have, flared up and say, you're not telling me what to do. But notice, I picked this point up in this one verse, and it has very good meaning to it. Jethro said, "Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel." Notice what he said after that, "And God will be with you." How did Jethro know that? How did Jethro know that God was going to be with him? Jethro was inspired to say this to Moses. Now, I'm saying this to make another point. It's okay, brethren, it's okay to seek wise counsel. We don't do it enough. I remember when I first came in the church that people would counsel often. They would even ask the minister whether or not they were financially capable of trading cars. I've seen this many times. Of moving to another location. There was counsel given there. But now, we go our separate ways. We don't ask. We don't seek. And for that reason, we make so many mistakes. I'm not saying that you have to run to the ministry every time you need to make a decision, but brethren, we should consult God. We should take time to read the Scriptures. We should take time to meditate on what we're about to do. As I said, maybe we need to pray earnestly more about it, and if necessary, fast about it. Verse 21. Moreover, this is what Jethro told Moses. Moreover, shall you select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covenants, and place such over them to be rulers of thousand, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So Moses, notice what this. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. What a great burden was lifted off of Moses at that time, because Moses sought advice to make a wise decision. Now, you also remember David as well. King David was on the run when his son Absalom took over Jerusalem. And let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 18. Second Samuel chapter 18, verse 3 and 4. But the people answered, "You shall not go out, for if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die, will they care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now, for you are now more help to us in the city." So, to make a long story short here, David had put on his armor and was going to go out to battle with all of his military men. But there were some men there that approached him, that approached David and said, "You know, you shall not go out. You're more help to us if you stay here in the city and give us advice. Because if you go out and be destroyed, you know, what will we do then? We won't have a king." So let's look, notice what verse 4 said. "So the king said to them, 'Whatever seems best to you, I will do.' So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands." So with these two verses of Scripture relating to Moses and David, we can see the wisdom of listening to wise instructions. Notice what Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 said. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Proverbs 1 and verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and increase hearing, increase learning, rather, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." So he's seeking to get wisdom from some other place other than his own. Now the second line of support for wisdom comes from Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 10. Please turn there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." So Christ giving warning to his apostles as to what they will be dealing with as they sent them forth out into the countryside and the villages to preach the gospel, opposition would be coming mostly from the Pharisees. And they would be like ravaging wolves. But notice what the instructions were to them. They were to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So this tells us in the midst of hostility, brethren, we are to have a humble attitude as we seek wisdom. So the third line of support for wisdom, and what it will do for us as we seek God's will is in with the Holy Spirit. We said earlier that God will not tell us everything in life that we must do. But we must use wisdom, trusting God through His Spirit to lead us in the right directions. Now, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We will read verse 1 and 2 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Now, when he said no longer, could no longer endure it, what was he talking about there? Well, the threats that was coming from the people around them. Actually, the threats to kill them. So they thought it was best then. Sometimes here's the decision had to be made through meditation and everything of their own. Paul and his companion probably arrived in Thessalonica in the early summer of A.D. 50. They planted the first Christian church in that city, but had to leave in a hurry because their lives were threatened. So there again, you know, there was a decision to be made in the right way. The fourth support in making wisdom is to seek God's will. To seek God's will. Ephesians chapter 5. Please turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. I will read verse 15 through 17 from the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. So, and we are to, you know, and we are to find the kind of wisdom, brethren, that for making the right decision. Now, let's turn quickly to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 6. Proverbs 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth, come knowledge and understanding. This is the Bible, this is the Scripture. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Verse 8, He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of the saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasing to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. For the final principle for decision making, we had three principles, four lines of support, and we have the final principle for decision making The principle of humble trust, our last principle. Ephesians chapter 1, please turn there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So we see here that God works all things after the counsel of His will. God's sovereign will can be defined as God's secret plan that determines everything that happens in the universe. Now, we had a situation where that Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard way about God's will. Let's turn over to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, because God's sovereign will is certain, it will be fulfilled. It will not be frustrated by men, angels, or anything else. God is the God of all power. So Nebuchadnezzar had to learn this in Daniel chapter 4, in verse 35. So all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Can't question God. Notice this. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Begin reading in verse 33. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him? Since the sovereign will of God cannot be known in advance, we must trust God to work out the details together for our good. In all decisions, brethren, we should humbly accept in advance the outworking of God's sovereign will as it touches each decision that we make. In the beginning of the sermon, we established that the goal of the Christian is to make the decision that our pleasing to God. What we have seen is that His Word establishes three principles for decisions making according to His will. The first principle was the principle of obedience. Where God commands, we must do. The second principle of wisdom was wisdom. Where there is no command, God gives us wisdom to choose. The third principle is the principle of humble trust. When we have chosen what is moral and wise, we must trust the sovereign God to work out the things that will be pleasing to Him. So in conclusion, brethren, let us seek after making the right decision in life that will be pleasing to God. And remember Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you.